Turn in God's Word to the book of Jude, found on page 1405 of the Church Bible. Over the last few weeks, we have been reading through this letter from Jude. And we're going to be looking at these verses 20 to 23. But we're going to read the whole of this passage to get the context for these verses. So listen to God's Word. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. May God bless us the reading of his word. Well, my children love to play with Lego, especially Star Wars Lego at the moment. And they often need Dad's help in building them up, which is a good excuse for me to play with Lego. They don't need any help from me in terms of breaking them back into pieces. And that's also true for us in the Christian walk. It can be easy to be torn apart into pieces by false teaching. It can leave you discouraged or anxious, and as a result, you become stagnant in your Christian walk. Instead, Jude teaches us that we are to contend for the faith, and we do that by being built up. We've looked at the negative, and that you are to watch out for false teachers and not believe what they are teaching. But today we see Jude teaching how you are to positively contend for the faith, how you are to grow in your faith. And this morning I want you to notice that you are to contend for the faith by keeping yourselves in the love of God as you bring the gospel to others. So I hope you have your handout there, your bulletin, and you'll see these different points and these different cross-references there. So firstly, you are to keep yourselves in the love of God by obeying God's commands. Verse 21. So Jude, in verses 20 to 21, he begins with ourselves before looking at others in verses 22 and 23. And you have to do something. Now, yes, Christianity is about what God has done for you. He saved you from your sin. He has rescued you from the punishment that your sins deserve, which is everlasting judgment. You have done nothing to merit your salvation, but you are to respond to it. And God is the one who enables you to respond. It's by His Spirit that He opens your eyes for you to put your faith in Christ. But that does not mean that you become passive. Peter puts it well when he said in 2 Peter 1, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." So you are not to take God's grace for granted. Instead, you are to respond to God's grace by growing in Christ. And growing in Christ, you become confident that God really is at work in your life. He really has saved you. And this is important because too often we see Christianity as if it's like a spectator sport. And with COVID-19 pandemic and with services moving online, this has become an even greater issue. Now, yes, some people have to join us online because of underlying health conditions. The risk is too great for them. But for many, online church is simply a convenience. I was talking to someone who thought online church was great because then they can take their kids to their Sunday sports and then catch up with church later in the day. But what often happens? Well, later in the day turns into the next day, and then continually it gets pushed back until before you know it, it's Sunday again. And so becoming passive is a danger, not only in terms of our church attendance, but more broadly in our Christian walk. Attendance at church is just one part of being active in the Christian walk. Jude gives us four commands about living the Christian life here in verses 20 to 21. There's one main verb, which is keep yourselves in God's love, and then three other verbs, participles, for us to consider. So let's consider kept in the love of God. And this is a constant theme in Jude's letter. Back in verse 1, in describing God's people, we are people who are kept for Christ Jesus. In the closing verses, which we will look at the next time, God keeps you from stumbling and presents you blameless before the presence of His glory. So God keeps you. You are safe. We like to keep things in a safe location. You keep your money in the bank, your jewelry in a jewelry box, your passports in a secure drawer. But likewise, God keeps you. You are secure. While God is sovereign in keeping you, you're also responsible in being kept in God's love. John, in his gospel, tells us how you are to do that. John 15, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so you keep yourselves in God's love by obeying God's commands. Now, that's not to win his love. No, it's a sign of being loved. Children don't obey their parents to earn their parents' love. They obey because their parents love them. And so in response, they lovingly obey their parents. As a Christian, as one loved by God, do you love God? And is that evident in your delight to obey God and his commands? When I was younger, I used to attend church camps. A number of you young people do the same. And these camps have lots of activities. One activity would be rock climbing, where you climb up a wall with different handholds to help you up. But you'd also be wearing a harness. And so you'd be attached to a rope and then to someone else. And that meant if you fell off the wall, you would not fall to the ground. You would be secure. That security, that would remove any fear, and that enables you to climb that wall, to take the risks needed to do so. And that's like you with God. In life, you are secure. God is keeping you. Your response should be to keep climbing. Keep obeying God's commands. If you're not obeying God's commands, that shows you don't love God. And instead, you are like the ungodly, which Jude says will be convicted for judgment. You are like these false teachers that will be condemned. No, keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, secondly, consider, you are to build yourselves up on your most holy faith, in verse 20. So how do you stop yourself from going in the way of the ungodly, who no longer obey God, who do not love him? Well, you are to remember who you are. Jude says that you are one of the beloved. He said that at the beginning of the letter, that you are beloved in God the Father. And as a result, Jude now calls you one of his beloved. So as a result of God's love, you are in a loving relationship with other believers. That's your identity. And we live in a world that's suffering from an identity crisis. We try and find our identity in our gender, in our race, in our sexuality. And if we're not falling into those traps, we find our identity in our work or in our families. But that won't offer you security. That won't offer you lasting satisfaction. Your identity is in God. And so you're not to forget your first love. Remind yourself constantly of your identity in Christ. For as we've considered, it is in him that we are secure. Well, how do you do this? Well, Jude says you are to keep building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Holy faith is the gospel message that you put your trust in. It's holy because it comes from God. To grow in the faith, in your trust in God, well, you need to grow in your understanding of God. And this you can only do from God's word. So how badly do you want to grow in the faith? What's evident in your study of the scriptures? Bodybuilders at the gym want gains. They want to increase their strength. And to do so, they need to increase their effort. They need to lift more to see their muscles growing. Likewise for the Christian. If you want gains in your Christian faith, you need to read more. You need to study more. Hyde, in his commentary, said, when Jesus Christ saved us, he established us upon himself as a foundation. The Holy Spirit is building up the wall. The means by which the Spirit does his building work is through us. So Jude says that we are builders, and you are to build on the truth of God's word. You are to build with the truth of God's word. Anything else will not be secure. I'm sure you all know the story of the three little pigs. The pig that built his house out of straw and the pig that built his house out of sticks did not survive because their building materials were not secure. Only the pig who built his house out of bricks, he survived the attack of the wolf. And so you are to faithfully read God's word every day to strengthen you, to protect you from attack. Think of ways to increase your knowledge and your understanding of God's word for you and for your family. In doing so, you're building for your family a strong house. So when false teaching comes, it won't be able to come in. Your family won't accept it. They will know that it's not right. Paul describes it in this way in Romans 12, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So Paul says we are to have our minds renewed, and it's God's word that does that. It changes how you think, changes your emotion and how you react to different things. It affects your decision making. We are being bombarded every day with false teaching, whether it's in the advertising that we see, in the movies that we watch, or in the songs that we listen to. We were watching Star Wars yesterday. Star Wars is a big theme in our family right at this moment. And that Luke Skywalker is being told by Obi-Wan Kenobi to trust your feelings. And Ronan, our four-year-old, quickly said, "No, we are to trust God." Well, you need to be careful what you're hearing. You need to be careful that your minds are being renewed by God's word, so you can identify these different lies that you're being told. And this you do by building with God's word. So what materials are you using to build your faith with? If it's not God's word, your building work will not remind you of who God is, nor remind you that you're one of God's beloved and so secure in him. So thirdly, let's consider you are to be faithful in prayer in verse 20. So as well as faithfully reading God's word, you are to be praying to God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Johnson says, "Prayer is the most tangible way of expressing to God that without him, we can do nothing." And so Jude says we are to pray in the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Well, this has been hijacked by charismatic believers to mean speaking in tongues. That's not what it means. Praying in the Holy Spirit means to be relying and depending on the Holy Spirit. And Paul speaks of this in Romans 8. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." The Holy Spirit has transformed you. You were once an enemy of God. Now you recognize God as your heavenly Father. And so, like any child to a father, you ask him for help. Praying is also a reminder that you're in a spiritual battle and we need strengthened to fight. And we do that by spending time in prayer, holding on to God's promises that we read in his word. In the Pilgrim's Progress, Christian and hopeful were suffering in the misery of Doubting Castle. Almost 4 days they had been captured by giant despair on the Wednesday morning. Now it is Saturday, it's almost midnight, and it was then that they begin to pray. Before the break of day, the next day, Christian cries out, "What a fool I am! I am to be lying in this stinking dungeon when I may as well walk at liberty. I have a key of promise that will, I am persuaded, open any lock in Doubting Castle." And Hopeful responded, "That's good news, good brother, pluck it out and try." And the key worked. Christian and Hopeful escaped Doubting Castle. It was in prayer that Christian was reminded of God's promise. So praying in the Spirit isn't some super spiritual experience. No, it's your normal prayers which are in line with God's word, which help you stand firm in the spiritual battle that you're in. And so your prayers remind you that you are one of God's beloved. And so it keeps you in the love of God. Well, fourthly, let's consider you are to stay focused on Christ and wait upon the future hope of heaven. Verse 21. When your focus is on the here and now, it can be hard to understand why you're going through a particular hard time. If you don't see the purpose of it, it can be really trying. One example from the Bible is that of Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He was left in prison and forgotten about by Pharaoh's butler. It must have been very hard for Joseph to keep going on. And yet throughout it all, he trusted in God. And God did have a purpose for him. And he was able to see that when he said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil. God meant it for good." Likewise, you need to have your focus on God, trusting in what he is doing. Jude says you are to wait in the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ onto eternal life. So your focus is to be on your future hope of heaven. In heaven, you will be made perfect. No longer will you be tempted by evil. No longer will you suffer from anxiety or pain. You'll be saved completely. You'll be with your Savior. That is a reward for all believers. Paul speaks of this in Philippians 3. "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, we often tell our children, "There'll be no dessert until you eat your dinner." And it's not that the dinner is awful, but the dessert is what they are looking forward to the most. Well, for the Christian, for believers, the dessert is coming. And it's not because we have to consume all the difficulty of this life, but it's because of the mercy of Jesus Christ. He has drank the cup of wrath so you can look forward to heaven. And yet there may be difficulty, there may be frustration that you have to get through here on earth. But you are to be patient. Don't give up. Remain alert. Keep looking forward to your reward. That's what motivates you to keep going. Christ is merciful. He will bring you to your destination in heaven. And so wait on him. By knowing the final outcome, that gives you confidence to keep going and keeps you in the love of God. And so this is how you keep yourselves in the love of God. If you prepare yourself in this way, by building yourselves up, in reading the Word of God, in praying faithfully, and waiting in anticipation for the assured outcome of heaven, you become more useful to God as you contend for the faith. But what about when you haven't kept God's law? When you haven't kept yourself in the love of God, you've disobeyed, you've not read his word, you've not prayed, you've forgotten about your future hope in heaven. Well, thankfully, Christ is the one who has kept it perfectly. He kept himself perfectly in God's love. He never disobeyed. He knew God's word. He was often in prayer. His focus was very much in accomplishing his mission and returning to the right hand of God. He is the one we trust in, even in contending for the faith. It's in him that you have the victory, and so you can advance in the Christian walk. World War I was a brutal war because the soldiers knew that they could do nothing against the enemy. If they tried to attack, they'd be mown down by the machine guns of their enemies. It's only when superior weapons like the tank and the aircraft were developed that it ended the stalemate. Soldiers that are secure, they can advance. When they know they have cover, when they know they have victory, this will keep them going. And likewise for you, contend for the faith is in Christ. Rely on him. He has gained you the victory. Let's look at the other two verses. You are to look outside of yourselves. You are to show mercy to those around you. In verses 22 and 23. So Jude moves on from looking to ourselves to looking around us. In contending for the gospel, you aren't to simply correct theological errors of false teachers. You are to proclaim the gospel. And Jude divides those who are lost into three groups. The first group are those who doubt. and you are to have compassion on those who doubt. The New King James is not as clear when it says, on some have compassion, making a distinction. The ESV puts it this way, have mercy on those who doubt. Now, this could be unbelievers, but most likely it is believers in the church who are doubting the truth of the gospel. And it's a reminder that you need to share the gospel, not only with those outside, but with those struggling inside the church. You should not be surprised to find Christians who doubt. The devil seeks vulnerable people. How are you to respond? Well, you are to show mercy. You are to allow them to express their doubts and fears. Too many are afraid to say anything for fear of judgment from fellow believers. One writer puts it this way, the church is the only army in the world that shoots its wounded. No, you are to show mercy. You are to build your brother up. Otherwise, in their vulnerability, false teachers will find them and convince them of a false gospel. Take Christ's example. When the apostle Thomas doubted, Jesus didn't give up on him. No, he showed mercy to Thomas. He removed his doubts so that Thomas did believe in him and worshipped him as a result. We live in a fallen world. You will doubt. Those around you will doubt. And so you need to remind each other what is true in the midst of the lies of this world. You need to remind each other of the mercy of Christ. Sometimes we can be quick to simply point out faults. Instead, show patience and compassion to those who doubt. Well, the second group of people we read off is in verse 23. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. There are those who now believe in the message of the false teacher. They believe in this false message that God's grace is a license for sin. In doing so, they are playing with fire. Jude has already referenced Sodom and Gomorrah that was destroyed in God's judgment by fire and brimstone. Remember how Lot tried to convince his sons-in-law to escape, but they would not listen. And that same urgency is to be shown to anyone who has been sucked into the lies of the false teachers. In a fire, there are times when firemen have to physically remove people from the danger because these people refuse to leave their homes. Well, you can't remove someone from spiritual danger if you don't have that ability. But Jude is saying there is urgency. Evangelism is very important. You must be praying for your unbelieving friends and family members, deepening your relationships with them, praying for an opportunity to speak to them, to speak into their lives of the gospel message. And you must pray for the courage to speak. You must be interested in your neighbors. Build a relationship with them, so then you will have opportunities in the future to talk to them about spiritual matters. Paul teaches Timothy to do the same. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Notice Paul instructs Timothy to be gentle. So often Christians in their urgency become abrupt and forceful, and that does not win anyone over. Instead, you are to be ready to take the time. Do the hard work of befriending and take the opportunities when they do come to show them the mercy that God has shown to you. And then the third group of people that Jude describes here, in the ESV it says, the others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. You are to show mercy to the false teachers themselves. In describing them this way, Jude is saying they are contaminated. The temptation is simply to avoid such people. Instead, you are to show mercy, but you need to approach them with caution. That's why Jude says you are to approach with fear, so you yourself don't become contaminated. Their teaching, their lifestyle is dangerous. And so you need to fear in case you too become convinced of their false teaching. Paul encourages the same in Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. But in Jude highlighting them, he's also reminding us that there is no one too far removed that the gospel of grace cannot cleanse. So consider those around you, whether it's your family members, your friends, whether it's your neighbors. Are you ready to point them to the mercy of God that has been shown to you? So as you keep yourselves in the love of God and bring the gospel to others, you are contending for the gospel. And these are not mutually exclusive. As you bring the gospel to others, you will find that you are strengthened in God's love. And as you keep yourselves in the love of God, your desire will increase to bring the gospel to others. But notice also that these commands of Jude are in the plural. You're not to do this alone. Jude is talking to the church. He's talking to God's people who are united to Christ. You are a fellowship of believers, and your strength lies in the fact that you are in Christ. Now, some of you have turned on the fire for winter. I'm sure most of you have by now. It's been cold. And if you have a coal fire, all those coals together create a roaring fire. But if one of those coals falls out onto the hearth, it will slowly die. It will stop producing heat and light. Only when it's in the fire and with the other burning coals does it create that heat. Well, likewise, you're not to do the Christian faith alone. You are part of a body of believers. And the head of this body is Christ. He is the one who enables you and all believers to contend for the faith. You won't get this from the Rotary Club or from your school or from some other organization. Now, this enabling is because you are part of a church which is in Christ. And so as you read God's word together, as you pray together, as you wait in the hope of heaven together, that's what you do. When you come every Sunday, or when you meet during the week, by God's grace, you help each other contend for the faith by keeping yourselves in the love of God as you bring the gospel to others. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your mercy that you've shown to us. And we pray, Lord, that we would be active Christians. Forgive us, Lord, when we have been passive, that we would keep ourselves in your love. Help us, Lord, to be built up by your word, that we would be faithfully reading your word. Help us, Lord, to be faithfully in prayer to you. And Lord, that we would be focusing on Christ and in the future hope that we have of heaven because of his work. Lord, that we would show mercy to others, whether that's to our brothers and sisters in the church, whether it's those who have got sucked into false teaching, whether it's even false teachers themselves. I pray that you would give us the strength and the courage. We pray for opportunities to do so. And Lord, you've called us to be part of a family with Christ as our head. And so, Lord, we thank you for how we can encourage each other to keep ourselves in the love of you, that we will contend for the faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our service singing Psalm 73C. The psalmist here has his hope on being with God in heaven. All else may fail, even his own body, but his confidence for eternity is in God. And likewise, this psalm is true for you. Your eternal security is found in Christ. He is your refuge. So let's sing the psalm, staying focused on Christ and waiting on the hope of heaven. Let's stand and praise him.